This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to today's webinar with Al Maghrib Institute. My name is Hafsa, and I am going to be your host, inshallah, for today's session. I'm honored to welcome you all and to spend the next hour, inshallah, benefiting along with you all for today's session. This is part of a webinar series titled Muslim Mental Health Matters that is sponsored by our amazing, phenomenal new course that Al Maghrib has launched titled Grounded, Find Emotional Strength for Yourself and Your Loved Ones. This course is taught by Sister Sara Sultan, who's one of my favorite personalities in this space, alhamdulillah. And it's a follow-up to, if those of you who are OG may remember, to an experience that we hosted about three years ago, I think, in COVID, titled Inside Out, Outside In, which was our kind of introduction to the mental health space and incorporating, Islamic guidance when it comes to some of the most painful and the most difficult things that Muslims are struggling with in their personal lives and especially in their mental health. So alhamdulillah, we're very excited to bring this experience to you all. And of course, alhamdulillah, to make this something that's accessible to everyone. This is a pay what you can experience, which means that you are able to, inshallah, register no matter where you're coming in from, whatever your capacity, whatever your ability is, alhamdulillah, you're able to register with however much you would like to support the experience through. So inshallah, we're very excited to bring that to you, inshallah. I will be sharing the link to the course for you guys in the chat for those of you who are not yet registered. If you are already, mashallah, mabruk, welcome to the experience and to the fam. And we're very excited for you to continue to benefit with us, inshallah. And I've drive that here in the link in the chat, and I'll share that again throughout the course of the experience. With that said, I want to introduce our first topic for this series, which is lessons of patience from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And of course, we have no other than Usada Taymiyyah Zubair, who is one of our instructors here at Al Maghrib Institute. She's an expert in Quranic studies, in tafsir and word analysis. She teaches many classes with us on site, and especially recently, very much so online through our virtual seminars, through Faith Essentials, and through guest appearances on other Al Maghrib programs such as this. She's got over a decade of teaching experience, and inshallah today she's going to walk us through this journey. Inshallah, we'll take some time, hopefully at the end of the session, to ask any questions to Ustada Taymiyyah, and we look forward to kicking off with her for today's session. Jazakum Allah khair to those of you who made time to be with us live here in the chat. Please do introduce yourselves. I know I see a lot of names popping up here, alhamdulillah. So do let us know where you're coming in from, and if there's anything that you benefit from, any gems, any particular points that really stand out so others can benefit as well. And feel free to share the khair for the course for others. I see that Ustada is with us, alhamdulillah. So I don't want to take any more time. I know there's so much to be benefited from. I see some folks, mashallah, coming from Karachi. Ooh, that's my adhan. My apologies. Pakistan. I see Sri Lanka. I see Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, welcome to all of you. And Jazakum Allah for being with us. And Ustada, welcome to you as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm well. How are you doing, Hafsa?
Alhamdulillah, Ustada. I'm honestly very excited. I think, like, you know, it's inside out, outside in. The original class that Al Maghrib launched on this topic was really groundbreaking and personally so beneficial for me. And we got so much feedback from just people from all corners of the globe that were sharing such personal, painful things that they had been struggling with. And I'm so happy that we have a course as significant as this that is now available for everyone. So, and Jazakum Allah khair to your contributions to this bonus webinar for the experience and for benefiting everyone here who's with us. I'm so excited to jump in. I'll pass it off to you, Ustada.
All right. Jazakallah khairan.
Barakallah fiki.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma hdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that there is certainly for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example. Meaning the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is an excellent example for you to follow. But this is for who? This is for لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. This is for the person who wants Allah, and who wants the approval of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, who ultimately wants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him or her. And وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, this person is also aiming for the last day, for the hereafter, meaning they want to succeed in the hereafter. So for this person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an excellent example. And we try to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, in our prayers, in our du'as, in the way that we worship Allah. But a major part of worship is how we connect with Allah, how we think with Allah, what kind of thoughts we have about Allah, and how we reach out to Him in times of difficulty, and how we seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed that to us. He taught that to us throughout his life. Because out of all the people, who is it that is tested the most? It is, of course, the prophets of Allah, right? They are tested the most in so many different ways. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tests and trials that he experienced in his life are, of course, well known, right? We all know that he was born an orphan. He was raised in poverty. He did not have a consistent guardian in his life until he was with his uncle Abu Talib. And even there, he had to work from a very young age. I mean, these are things that are well known, right? The hardships that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced in his life. And then we also know that after receiving prophethood, again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to be tested, but in different ways now, not just in personal matters, because of course we know that after prophethood, he lost his children. In fact, all of his children died in his lifetime, except for one daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. And after prophethood, we see that the kind of trials that the Prophet ﷺ experienced were, of course, in the way of Allah. What he suffered at the hands of people, the pain that he felt at the hands of those who disbelieved in him and those who lied about him, those who opposed him, those who tried to harm him and hurt him and create hurdles for him in every step that he took, basically. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that basically you are grieving too much, which shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be extremely sad. He would feel a lot of pain inside of his heart. He would grieve very deeply because of how the people were responding to him and how the people were opposing him. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ, that perhaps you would kill yourself, meaning the way you are grieving, the way that you are sad, the way that you are upset, this amount of grief could actually kill you. It would destroy you. You would perhaps kill yourself, meaning because of your grieving, and your grieving would kill you. Why is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be upset? What is the reason for his sadness? It wasn't that he didn't have enough to eat. It wasn't that he didn't have, the things that the people of the world desire to have. No, his grief was in the way of Allah. It was because of the disbelief of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا, because these people don't believe. In Surah Al-Shu'ara also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, that perhaps you would kill yourself because these people don't believe. So over and over again, we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you're grieving too much. And this shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt a lot of pain inside of his heart because of the disbelief of people and because of their opposition. So then, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala console his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his messenger to do in order to manage this grief, in order to manage all of these feelings? Because, the ulama say that huzn, sadness, is of two kinds, all right? One type of sadness is that which is for the dunya, and the other type of sadness is that which is for the akhirah, all right? Other ulama say that one type of sadness is that which is of benefit to you, and the other type of sadness is that which is harmful for you. So sadness and grief, these are emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created inside of us, and they're necessary. They play an important role, but they cannot be left uncontrolled, and they cannot be left to lead our reactions and our actions and drive our decisions, because when they're left out of control, they can actually be very, very detrimental, right? And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, for example, that لا تحزن, do not be sad, right? لا تحزن عليهم, do not be sad over them or because of them. This is not an invalidation of sadness. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala validates the feelings of sadness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him how to manage those feelings. So I want to spend the next little while that we have together discussing some verses in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to how he should observe patience and how he should manage and control the sadness so that it does not become destructive. It becomes a tool and it becomes beneficial, but it does not get out of control so that it becomes destructive. And of course, these verses are a huge lesson for us as well, because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do these things, imagine how beneficial they could be for us as well. So the first ayah that I want to talk about is in Surah Al-An'am, in verse number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. That indeed, in fact, we know, Allah knows, that what the people say hurts you. Allah knows that what these people say about you hurts you. And what is it that the people would say about him and to him and against him, on his face and also behind his back? Lies about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They would call him a magician, they would call him a liar, they would call him a madman. Innaka lamajnoon, that you are insane. Or that he was a sorcerer, a soothsayer, and things like that. Or that he had some ulterior, you know, motive for spreading this message, that, you know, he was seeking you know, personal glory or something like that. And if any such things are said about any individual, all right, this would certainly hurt. And sometimes the cause of our pain and sadness is simply the kind of things that people say, right? About how you're not a good mother, right? You are not a good daughter, or that you are not a good friend. And people don't say these things directly. Sometimes they say these things indirectly, and these things are very, very hurtful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger that we know what you are going through. Because Allah, our Rabb, the one who created us, is Al-Khallaqul Alim. He created us and he also knows us. He knows what is happening to us and he also knows how we're feeling. He knows exactly what we're feeling. In Surah Al-Hijr, also Allah says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that your chest feels constricted, like you feel so tight and suffocated inside because of what these people say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we know. And we should also know that our Rabb knows what is happening to us. And Allah knows how we're feeling. The second thing, the second ayah that I want to talk about is in Surah At-Tur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his messenger, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. That be patient for the command of your Lord, because indeed you are under our eyes. We're watching you. And this verse is showing us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. He's guarding you. He is protecting you. So you don't need to feel afraid. You don't need to feel alone. You are under Allah's watch. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You know, people, for example, if we are under watch, it could be for different reasons. We could be under watch, under observation, right? Because somebody is just waiting to pounce at us and criticize us and attack us, right? Waiting for us to make the first mistake so that they can cancel us. And other times, people are watching, or we are being watched. Why? From a place of love and care and protection, right? So for example, your child or your student wants to do something which they're struggling with, and you say, it's okay, go ahead, I'm here. It's okay, try, I'm here. If you need me, I'm here. Allah tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, you are under our eyes, we are watching you, you're not alone, these people cannot harm you. So this is another important thing to remember, that while we are going through whatever test, whatever trial, whatever difficulty in our lives, we have to remember that Allah is watching us. We are not abandoned and left on our own, even when it comes to the greatest atrocities that are happening in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah is a witness. Allah knows. Another thing we see in this ayah is that Allah tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that wasbir li hukmi rabbik, that be patient over the decree of your Lord. And this has been interpreted in a number of ways. One interpretation is that it means, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, be patient over the decree of your Lord, meaning what Allah has decreed for you. And what this teaches us is that whatever is happening in your life that is causing you pain, that is causing you, you know, big feelings, you know, that is causing big feelings inside of you to bother you, to affect you, to cause you distress. Well, whatever is happening by the decree of Allah, right? So for example, in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the people did not believe, if the people were opposing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if they were fighting him, they were killing the Muslims, whatever that was happening, well, all of that was decreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed for you. Do we not believe that everything is by divine decree? It is one of the six pillars of Iman, Iman bil Qadr, which means that nothing happens in this existence except that it was decreed by Allah. So anything that we suffer, whether it is that a family member is a cause of constant, you know, distress for you, or somebody at work is a source of annoyance for you, could be a person, could be a certain situation in your life, could be the events that are happening in the world. Whatever is causing us to feel what we're feeling, remember, this was already decreed. And our job as the slaves of Allah is to be patient over the decree of Allah. And of course, being patient does not mean that you just surrender and you don't do anything. No, it means that you accept that this is not an accident. This is Allah's decree. This was part of the plan. And if Allah has decreed this for us, it's not against us. It may seem like it is against us, but it is not against us. It's going to lead to something that is going to be good for us. So, wasbir li hukmi rabbik, be patient over the decree of your Lord. Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not promised us that He is going to test us? He has. So be patient over the decree of your Lord. And remember that whatever happens in the world, any loss, any pain, any type of, you know, hunger or fear, the different types of trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about, these were decreed even before the heavens and the earth were created. So be patient over the decree of your Lord. Another interpretation is that be patient over the command of your Lord, meaning the command that Allah has given you, which is that you have to convey the message. It's not easy. People are not believing. People are opposing you. They're spreading lies and rumors about you. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to quit? You cannot quit. You have to keep going. You have to keep doing your part. And this is what patience means, that be patient over the command of your Lord. And another interpretation is that be patient for the command of your Lord to come, meaning until Allah creates ease for you and grants you victory. Hold on until that time. So, wasbir li hukmi rabbika fa innaka bi ayunina. You are under our eyes. We are watching you. So you cannot quit. You have to accept the decree of Allah and you have to keep going. You have to keep striving until the command of your Lord comes. And the third verse that I want to talk about is in Surah Ar-Rum. In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fasbir inna wa'ad Allahi haqq. Be patient, indeed the promise of Allah is true. And this statement, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in many places in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir as well, that Fasbir inna wa'ad Allahi haqq. And this ayah is teaching us that be patient because you believe that Allah's promise is true. Because sometimes when a trial goes on for too long, what seems like too long, right? And what seems to become unbearable, right? It's easy to begin to lose hope and to begin to despair and to begin to slow down in your effort because you think that, oh, I'm trying all this, but it's not really making a difference. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That be patient, the promise of Allah is true. And have no doubt about this. And what is the promise of Allah? That inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqin. That the good outcome is for those who are righteous. Those who commit oppression, those who do wrong, they will never succeed, never ever. Allah's promise is for who? Those who fear Allah. And when you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine him in Mecca, right? Imagine how the family of Ammar, right? They're being persecuted and then they're being killed. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was so honorable in Mecca, and now what is happening? He's not allowed to live in Mecca because people are not allowing him to recite the Quran in his house. Subhanallah. And he is leaving Mecca. This is Abu Bakr. Right? And you know about the stories of the companions, how they were all struggling to a point that Khabbab radiallahu anhu one day came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him that when will the help of Allah come? When will it come? Are we not upon the truth? Right? The companions began to ask. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that he was told by Allah? Fasbir inna wa'adallahi haqq. Do not despair. Do not quit. Do not give up hope. Believe that Allah's promise is true. And in one place in the Quran, Allah says, after the statement, that those who are not certain should not discourage you. Meaning, the people who don't believe in Allah, the people who don't believe in you, the people who don't believe in the hereafter, don't let their actions discourage you. Because they want you to get discouraged. They want you to quit. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They want you to give up. So don't come under their pressure. وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَّنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. I mean, be strong, be resilient, and keep going. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was also told in the Quran that whether we show you some of what we have promised them, meaning whether we punish them in your lifetime or we cause you to die and the punishment comes on them afterwards, then in either case, فَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. These enemies of yours are returning to us, meaning they're returning to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them exactly what they deserve. So sometimes what happens is that we obsess too much over what should happen to those who are doing wrong, right? Sometimes all of our focus is on them, right? And I'm not just talking about, in bigger scenarios, but sometimes in our personal lives as well, that for example, if there's a particular individual who does not understand the problems that they're creating in your life, right? And how the wrong things that they do are very upsetting, right? Sometimes we focus entirely on them, that I have to somehow tell them, right? I have to somehow make them realize. I have to somehow get back at them, right? I can't be a pushover over here. I can't be treated like this. But the thing is, you can't waste your time obsessing over them because it's possible that they don't get it. And how often it happens that people do not understand the wrong that they're doing. Or sometimes they understand, they realize, but they actually want to do that wrong. right? They don't care about you. They care about themselves. So don't become impatient to see that perfect justice is established in this world. That's not, it's not necessary that it's going to happen in your lifetime. It may happen in your lifetime. It may not happen, right? But ultimately, everyone is returning to Allah. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not neglect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget, all right? It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yumhil, and He gives respite. He gives time to those who do wrong, all right? But He does not yuhmil, and He does not forget. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving time to someone, it doesn't mean that He has forgotten about them. No. So leave your matters to Allah, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Now, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do? Right? First, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you are feeling and what is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you, right? فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. And that you must believe in the promises of Allah. Do not lose hope. So what are the practical things that the Prophet ﷺ was told to do? We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger ﷺ in Surah Ghafir, verse number 55, that فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Be patient. Indeed, the promise of Allah is true. Now do what? وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Seek forgiveness for your sins. Seek forgiveness from Allah. And وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Glorify your Lord when? In the evening and in the morning. Okay, two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His messenger to do. First is seek forgiveness, right? Now, there's a whole discussion about what, you know, whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even committed anything that could be called a sin, right? So the ulama say that the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to seek forgiveness is because through him we are actually being taught that we should seek forgiveness, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought forgiveness from Allah, even though he did not commit sins, but he asked Allah for forgiveness, and that goes to show how much more important it is for us to seek forgiveness. Now, what happens is that when we're going through a tough time, obviously, we question ourselves and we wonder, well, am I being punished? Am I being punished for something wrong that I may have done? Right? And yes, you should think about that. You should introspect, but don't let shaitan play with you over there and make you think that, oh, this is a punishment from God and Allah is very angry with you and you're doomed, right? No. If you feel, and yes, we should feel that perhaps this is a consequence of my own wrongdoing, right? And a lot of times it happens that, you know, for example, if a certain individual is treating you in a harsh way, we don't realize that perhaps we are creating that reality by our harshness as well, right? That we instigated them, right? Because you can't expect that someone's behavior is just happening in a vacuum. There could be a reason behind that. I'm not saying that that's always the case, but a lot of times, you know, in you know, typical family situations and in typical situations of conflict, a lot of times, you know, we also play a role in bringing about the negative reactions of people. I'm not saying that's always the case, all right? But many times it happens. So let's say you are at fault, all right? Or let's say you are not at fault, but Shaitan is telling you that you are at fault and that you are a horrible person and that you deserve this and you know, you are evil, etc. Well, even if I am the worst person ever, even if I deserve all of this, well, guess what? My Rabb is forgiving. And I ask Allah for forgiveness. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And you don't let spiritual guilt cause you to become distant from Allah and prevent you from seeking Allah's help. No. Even if you feel like, yeah, I don't pray properly, I don't do this, I don't do that, and of course, God is going to punish me. Even if that's the case, well, ask Allah for forgiveness. Let istighfar be your way back to Allah. Right? So, wastaghfir li dhanbik. Another thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger is wasabbih bihamdi rabbik. Glorify your Lord. Praise your Lord. Glorify and praise Him. Why? Because when you glorify Allah, when you say subhanallah, what are you doing? You are mentioning the perfection of Allah. That Allah is perfect. That Allah is free of any fault. That Allah is free of anything that is blameworthy, anything that could be wrong. He does not make mistakes. Right? He does not have any equal. He does not do anything wrong. Allah is perfect. And when you praise Allah, what are you doing? You are thanking Allah. Right? So when you glorify and praise Allah, this is not just a way of earning reward, right? Because of course, kullu tasbihatin sadaqa, but this is also a way of correcting your thoughts. Okay, about Allah and about yourself. That Allah is perfect, and yes, I am not. Allah is perfect, and He is able to bring good out of this. Allah is perfect, and He did not make a mistake when He decreed this test for me. Allah is perfect, and He's able to do all things, and He can make the situation better. Even though it seems so impossible, He can fix it, right? Because my Lord is perfect. So sabbih bihamdi rabbik, and praise Allah and thank Him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just given you this hardship and these trials in your life, He has also blessed you with ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given you good things. So glorify and praise Allah. And the ulama say that sabbih over here doesn't just mean tasbih, it also means praise Allah. Because tasbih is not just verbal glorification, it also includes salah. And in your salah, what do? You make sajda. And when you go into sajda, sajda is what? The closest position you are in to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Wasjud waqtarib. Make sajda and draw close to Allah. So tasbih and hamd in the morning, in the evening, and also salah, this is something that actually brings you comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His messenger in Surah Taha that وَمِنْ أَنَاءِ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ وَاي لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَاهَا. That in the portions of the night, glorify Allah or praise Allah, and also at the two ends of the day, in the beginning and at the end. Why? So that you may be happy. So that you may become pleased. So the dhikr of Allah and praying to Allah, salah, this is something that actually brings us happiness and joy in our lives. And this is something that actually takes sadness away. Because you know that you're not alone. You know that you have entrusted your affairs to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. You know that nothing is happening in vain. You know that Allah is watching. Everything is being recorded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate in the best way. So Hafsa, I'll pause over here for now. Yeah.
Sounds amazing, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair, Usada. I feel like from the chat here and on YouTube, I can tell this is what a lot of folks needed to hear. And I'm glad it resonates with so many folks in the audience, alhamdulillah. And it feels very personal to some of the struggles that you're experiencing. And this is why we created this course. This is the whole purpose of us facilitating this gathering, because a lot of people suffer in silence. Or there's just, you know, they think it's not, you know, I'm just, my day-to-day life is just hard. There's struggles, not, you know, life is hard in general, and they don't sometimes get the help that they need. And Islamic mental health is something that, alhamdulillah, is a growing space. And we wanted to contribute through our own, alhamdulillah, expertise of matching our Islamic knowledge and our access to our wonderful instructors, as well as the professional knowledge of Sister Sara Sultan and her background as a licensed mental health counselor. So we're so excited to be able to bring this to everybody. I'm going to take some time to give you guys the opportunity to send any questions that you have for Ustada Taymiya for the remainder of the session. If you can please private message them to me here on Zoom, because you've RSVP'd here, we'll take the questions from the audience here. Just message them so that I don't lose them. I have one already that has been submitted. And while you guys are doing that, just a quick reminder, of course, about the experience, and then we'll inshallah be right back with Ustada Taymiya to take your questions, inshallah. So for those of you who are coming in a little bit late or who are coming in just now, alhamdulillah, this is the first session in our 4-part webinar series on Muslim mental health. The first session is on the lessons of patience from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and this session is recorded. If you missed anything, inshallah, it'll be in your student portal. It's briefly on YouTube, but it will likely not stay on there. So make sure that you do register for however much you can. Alhamdulillah, we've made this experience pay what you can so that we don't have anybody who is unable to attend it. No matter what your financial situation is, you give as little or as much as you're able to, inshallah. We know life can be tough, and we don't want anyone to feel alone or unsupported by the community just because they don't have the resources, inshallah. And we've made this just as amazing as all the other Maghrib online courses, a really professional experience where you get access to a private member portal. You get access to lifetime recordings of the seminar that Ustada Sara Sultan has spent years working on, alhamdulillah. And no matter what your struggle is, everyone is going through something, whether it's a significant personal loss, financial or emotional, whatever it is, it's essential for you as a Muslim, as a human being, to have well-rounded support and to have the tools to help to manage and deal with these difficult experiences. And alhamdulillah, this course is also focused on parents who are trying to equip their children with those tools as well, inshallah, and to be able to teach that in a you know, balanced and a safe way, alhamdulillah, for kids who are just growing up in this environment, whether it's just them growing up as minorities in a non-Muslim space or majority a non-Muslim space, whether it's just teaching them the tools to navigate these conversations and these experiences that they go through. There's some questions I see that have come in already. The link for Grounded has been dropped a few times. Jazakumullah khair to the amazing folks on the team here who are doing so. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to us at online@almaghrib.org, and we can help to assist you there. But I'm going to try, now that I've got so many questions submitted, to start going through them. The first question that came in ahead of time, Jazakumullah khair, Ustada Taymiya, for being back with us as we jump into our Q&A. The first question was a little bit lengthy, so I'm condensing it as best as I can. But the questioner is asking, can you please explain how to reconcile accepting a loss while you're still praying for change or help for the situation? Because it's something that they're having a challenge with, knowing that it's, you know, you shouldn't have a lack of faith in Allah. You should continue to make dua if it's something that you still want, and you know Allah has the power to change anything or anyone. But when there's no change or the door seems to be closed, then they're trying to wonder, you know, if it doesn't look like it's going to be open, is it Allah's telling you that this is not something that's good for you and you should move on from that experience?
There's a number of things that we can discuss here.
Okay.
What comes to mind is the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. Right. Zakariya alayhi salam was at an age where he was so old, right? His body was weak, his hair was white, and he said, "Walam akum bidu'aika rabbi shaqiyya." And he said, "My Lord, I have never been unblessed by calling on you." Meaning every time that I have called on you, you have blessed me with something, right? Mm-hmm. And remember that the purpose of dua is not just to get what you want. Dua is not just a way of getting something that you wish for. The purpose, dua is ibadah. It is the essence of worship. It is a way of connecting us to Allah. All right? Because let's say you pray for a job, you get it. You pray for money, you get it. You pray for a spouse, you get it. You pray for a child, you get it. You pray for anything of this world, you get it. Then what? Are you going to stay with these things forever? Are these things going to stay with you forever? No, because ma indakum yanfad. Whatever is with you is going to run out, right? It's going to finish. Wa ma indallahi baq. And what is with Allah is going to last forever. So when you make dua for something, all right, remember that there's two sides to it. One is your connection with Allah, all right? And the other is the thing, the object, the thing of this world you wish for, that you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Your calling upon Allah, your dua, is going to benefit you eternally. All right. And what you get here is probably going to stay with you for some time. You might be able to enjoy it, maybe not, right? But the ultimate benefit of dua is what? It is in calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why when you call upon Allah, you must have hope. Because what does hope do? It keeps you calling on Allah over and over and over again. Yesterday you're praying for one thing, today you're praying for something else, tomorrow you're praying for something else. Why? Because Allah, right? It's a way of connecting with Allah. It's a way of worshiping Allah. It is the essence of worship, right? So you don't despair, all right? You don't think negative thoughts about Allah. You don't think that Allah will not hear me, that Allah will not give me what I want. No, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he kept praying to have children. When was he given children? So late. And what did he say? Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Indeed, my Lord is surely the hearer of du'as. Right? He's thanking Allah that, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah who granted me, in spite of my old age, two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Zakariya alayhi salam is making du'a and he's saying, walam akum bidu'aika Rabbi shaqiyya. Right? So focus on the connection that you are developing, all right, with Allah Azza wa Jal through the dua. And you know what? There will come a point where you will find so much pleasure and so much comfort in dua that will be far greater than the comfort that you could get by having the thing that you were praying for. And in the hereafter, what will matter is, and eternally, right, what will matter is not the things you got by praying for them. It is the closeness, right, that you found with Allah by calling on Him. So that is the ultimate goal. So keep thinking good about Allah, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks I am, right? Don't think about Allah negative thoughts or all types of weird thoughts about Allah. No, think good about Allah. Expect good from Allah. And accept the decree of Allah, right? Whether you get in your life what you were praying for or not, at the end, be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for you. Because what He chooses for you is better than what you choose for yourself.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sana. That's such an important reframing of the entire approach to the problem that the person is experiencing. May Allah make that a benefit. And jazakumullah khair to everyone. There's so many questions coming in. We're going to do as much justice as we can to them. We do have limited time. I do want to remind you guys that, mashallah, we have an 18 plus hour course that tackles a lot of the experiences that you are going to be discussing or asking about here. And we have bonus Q&A sessions with Usada Sarah Sultan, plus other bonus sessions here in this webinar series. So bear with us if we don't get to everyone. There's some great questions being asked. The first question that I have next is, please tell us how does someone grieve an abusive father who's passed away?
Wow.
That's a heavy one.
It is a heavy one. Mm-hmm. Look, two things can be true, mm-hmm. right? It is true that you were abused, you were hurt, you were treated unfairly, right? You were wronged, and that is valid. Right? You don't have to deny that. You don't have to pretend like that didn't happen. You can choose to forgive, and that is better for you. And you can hope for, you can also decide that you want complete justice in the year after, and that is also fine, right? And you are also sad at what you have lost, right? And that is also true. So don't deny either of these, all right? You can be sad, and of course, knowing that, yes, he's your father, your blood, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to be your father. And there is that human connection, of course. So yes, you can be sad. And if you don't feel sad at the loss of an abusive father, for example, that is also fine. You don't have to force yourself to be sad because sadness is not a requirement. All right. It is not an obligation, especially if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away somebody who is causing so much pain. Right. So at the end of the day, you accept Allah's decree. Allah decreed that you are tested through someone who is so close to you. Right. This was written. This is a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for you in Allah's perfect wisdom. So accept it, yani, accept Allah's decree, right? You were patient over it. You did what you could to protect yourself. You are doing what you can to heal. And this is all part of patience.
Jazakallah khair. SubhanAllah. That is a difficult question to tackle with so much emotional intelligence. The next question that I have submitted is, what can I do if Salah does not give me peace?
If Salah does not give you peace, keep praying. Keep praying Salah. Because if Allah has said, wasta'inu bis sabri was Salah, that means that we need both of them, right? Wasta'inu bis sabr, seek help through patience. Patience is not something that is intuitive in everybody. Sometimes you have to learn, right? And part of patience is that you learn ways to control yourself and you learn ways to heal. And perhaps that means going to a therapist. Perhaps that means taking a class like this to help you recognize, understand what's happening to you so that you can find peace, inshallah. But sabr is not the only thing that you do, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, wasta'inu bisabri was-salah. So do both. Do both. Do what is needed to bring you the peace that you need, and try different things. Could be physical exercise, could be going out in the nature, could be talking to a mental health professional who can help you. But don't say that Salah is not bringing me peace. It will. It definitely will. So you need both, inshallah.
Beautiful. The next question that I have is, I have a son that's newly diagnosed with autism. It seems like such a long journey and so many unknowns on the journey. Sometimes I struggle with how to ask Allah for help. I do make dua. Do you have any other suggestions?
Being tested through your children, their health is definitely a huge trial. It can be extremely difficult. But what I would, and I'm speaking as a parent, and every parent is tested in different ways. What I would say is, thank Allah for what He has blessed you with, right? Your child has been diagnosed with this condition, but this is not the only thing that your child has. Your child has a lot of beautiful things, right? Your child is much more than their diagnosis. So don't forget to appreciate and enjoy the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you through this beautiful child of yours, right? Don't just view them as a test or something that is so difficult now, but there's also so many good things about your child. So thank and praise Allah for those things. And another thing I would say is, don't live your life in fear that this might happen, that might happen. People are going to bully my child. He's not going to have any friends. He's going to struggle in school. How is he ever going to serve, you know, find work, etc.? Don't live your life in fear, right? Allah is the one who created you, your child. Allah is al-Razzaq, right? So every struggle that you come across, just dua is your weapon, right? Dua is your weapon. Just keep calling upon Allah. Keep praying to Allah to guide you, to help you, to provide for you the best people, you know, the best tools, means you need to help your child. And remember, this life is a journey, right? Back to Allah. Inshallah.
Mashallah, everyone's coming from such a diverse set of experiences and struggles, and you realize how it manifests and in so many people's, you know, lives, subhanAllah. I'm so glad that we have this course as a resource for you all. And I hope that everyone who is listening, especially the reason why we made it pay what you can, is so that there would be no barrier to anyone being able to benefit. So make sure you do check out almaghrib.online for the rest of the grounded experience to continue to benefit on this journey. The next question that I have is, when thoughts of distress become too much, I have a tendency to Google or talk to people to primarily seek reassurance. It can be very toxic. How can I practically pivot towards the divine in those tough moments?
Mm-hmm. So it's okay to Google and find out what's happening to you, right? It's something very normal. And it's also perfectly fine to talk to people. But of course, too much of anything can be, you know, unhealthy. And especially if you're not talking to the right people, then of course, such conversations will not be beneficial then. They can actually be very harmful. So what you can do is allow yourself space to talk to people so that you can get good advice, right? Read about it so that you can understand what is happening. But also make yourself focus on doing things that will help you in the situation that you are in, right? So, for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wasabbih bihamdi rabbik, right? That how you deal with this pain and agony is that you glorify and praise Allah. So also set a goal for yourself that, for example, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim, I'm going to say it 100 times. Right. And especially when thoughts are worrying you, when certain feelings are overwhelming you, at that time, especially set a goal for yourself that I'm going to sit and I'm going to do dhikr. Right. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar 100 times. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times. Because the person who says this 100 times, then shaitan cannot harm that person. And a lot of times such negative thoughts that become unmanageable, they can be from shaitan to hurt us, to keep us worried, to keep us distracted. So fight away those thoughts by the dhikr of Allah, inshallah.
Beautiful. I know we're getting close to the hour, so I'm going to try to take maybe one or two more questions, inshallah. And jazakallah khair, the questions have been phenomenal so far, mashallah. Thank you for putting yourselves out there and sharing your own pain so that others can benefit as well. The next question that I have is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he does not test us beyond what we can bear. I'm wondering if I understand this ayah correctly, because we see people quite literally die and are the tests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. What are we supposed to understand from this ayah?
Okay. So there are two interpretations of this ayah. Okay. One interpretation is لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. This is talking about religious obligations. Okay. Only. That Allah will never obligate us, all right, with a religious task that is beyond our capacity. Never. So for example, if a person is unable to stand up, right, because of the fever that they have, because of their physical condition, well, they're not, Allah will not require from them that they stand up and pray. No, because Allah does not burden a soul beyond their capacity, which is why this person can sit down and pray. This person can make tayammum instead of wudu to pray. This person can lie down and pray, right? So some ulama say that this ayah is strictly talking about religious obligations. And other ulama say that this ayah is also talking about worldly trials, right? And what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden you with a trial that you cannot bear, okay? Which means that you can bear it with your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can bear it with the tools or with the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you, the yusr, the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you in that hardship. And this does not mean that you're not going to die, because كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul is going to die. And yes, people are going to die. Like, for example, somebody is shocked by something extremely painful that has happened, that which causes them to have a heart attack, which causes them to die. Well, you're not going to bring this ayah over here and say that, oh, brother, you should be patient and you should not have the heart attack and you should not die because of this. No, every person is going to die. All right. So this ayah does not mean that Allah will not give a hardship that is not going to eventually kill a person, because people will die eventually. And of course, we die because our body is not able to bear the disease or the physical condition that you know our body is exposed to, and this is why people die. All right, so this ayah does not mean that Allah will not give you trials that will not lead to your death. No, physical trials will lead to death eventually, but that mentally and in your faith, right, you will find means to have the strength to be pleased with Allah and to be patient with His decree, no matter what that decree is. Right?
Jazakumullah khair, Usada. Thank you for all your thorough responses to the various questions that we've had coming in. I know there's many more that are pending, but as we mentioned, inshallah, we'll have opportunities to continue asking them. Genuinely, I can tell from the messages coming in from the chat and the warm reception here that so many people have benefited, may Allah accept from us and from you, Sada. Any final reminders before we close off for today?
I was just going to say that a lot of these questions, inshallah, I hope will get resolved automatically once you enroll in this course.
100%.
Right? Because a lot of times the confusions that we have, or the doubts that we have, or the things that are just not clear to us in our lives, that why is this happening? And sometimes it's because of our incomplete understanding of religious texts, mm-hmm. right? So for example, we think that, oh, patience just means just bear everything and don't do anything about it, right? But inshallah, through this course, inshallah, you'll understand what it means to be patient, and how do you practice sabr, right? And how do you help yourself in such times of trial?
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Usada. It's been a pleasure to have you on as our launching guest for our bonus webinar series for Grounded Online. We look forward to continue to benefit from you in all aspects of the Maghrib community and the Maghrib worldwide student body, alhamdulillah. And we look forward to seeing you very soon, inshallah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Usada Taymiyah Zubair for our first iteration of our bonus webinar series. Jazakumullah khair to all of you for your attendance, and a really warm welcome to all of you who've already attended and who've already registered for the Grounded webinar, for the Grounded online experience, inshallah. I do want to remind you guys, if you have questions that didn't get a chance to be answered, as Usada mentioned, this course, the reason why we have, you know, 18 plus hours of content, that we have live Q&As with Usada Sara Sultan, that we've put a whole seminar just on Muslim mental health and navigating the struggles and the challenges that everyday Muslims experience, is so that we can properly address them and thoroughly give you guys the resources and the responses and the tools that you need to be able to navigate this in whatever situation that you've experienced in the past, what you're experiencing now, and whatever may come up in the future. Wherever you're coming in from, whatever walk of life, whatever challenge, whatever background, whatever history, whatever culture that you're coming in from. So I highly recommend you guys check out maghrib.online, and inshallah, register. Again, we made the course pay what you can, so there's no barrier to anybody from any corner of the world to be able to enter and to benefit. And for those who can contribute just a little bit more, your support is going to help us to continue making classes like this and to extend the support to others who need it most, inshallah. So once again, Grounded Online, check it out, register, don't hesitate. The course is available. As soon as you sign up, you get access to all the content and a lot of the questions that many of you have asked here already. I recall seeing the answers discussed in detail in the course content itself, inshallah. And once again, the next session that we have is, inshallah, actually going to be tomorrow. So tomorrow we're going to be here back at 6 p.m. EST, so a slightly different time. And it's going to be with Dr. Zohair Abdulrahman on overcoming depression through faith. And I saw a lot of questions on depression. So for those of you who are here who are looking for those answers, please make sure that you do join us, inshallah, 6 p.m. tomorrow. And we'll see you then live. In the meantime, please share the khair with others. We hope that you benefit. Please keep a maghrib and your instructors in your du'as. And we'll see you guys very soon. Take care.